There we go.
There we go. We're going live on YouTube, Twitter. Hey, y'all, welcome to Water Break. It's good to be with you, my wife, Annie, and Gabe, the water boy here. This show today, I'm trying to figure out where my buttons at. There we go. A little loud. For this show today, we're actually going to talk about kids and food and kind of raising children kind of in this foodie world. And, you know, it's a big conversation, as you were just saying earlier. There's a lot going on when you're raising kids and food and kind of the culture you want to create with your family.
I'd say health in general, not just food. You know,
yeah.
Like I like to kind of encompass everything, but yeah, it's a huge topic. And I love talking about kids, and I get questions about kids a lot, but also you can really hurt feelings talking about kids.
Yeah.
It's like the most personal topic. So, yeah.
So don't get your feelings hurt.
Try not to get your feelings hurt. Okay, guys,
don't get your feelings hurt, y'all.
You can just listen. And then if you don't like what we say, you can just not do it. And that's completely fine.
If you guys want to support what we're doing, make sure you join our club. That's the easiest way to join to support us. Join our club. Go to fightlifeeast.com. You can also become a corporate sponsor of what we're doing, an advertiser. There's a number of ways. And then, of course, our national conference is in Fort Worth this year in October. And you can go to prodigalamerica.com to sign up for our national conference. Love to see you there. Annie, me and Annie will be there. Yeah. Of course.
I'm excited.
Maybe the kids. Speaking of a kids show.
I know. Speaking of those goobers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully we can bring them again.
Okay. So we're going to start here. We're going to start kind of with, you know, we're a faith and fitness show. And we base everything we do on the Lordship of Christ. It should be very clear and apparent that we're Christians. So I want to kind of start with, like, what's our foundation of raising kids? And that should affect how we think about health and food. And you like to use the broader word health because you're smarter than me. but I want to kind of start here with Ephesians. In scriptures, the Bible says that children are heritage, children are a blessing, and that there's just so much blessing in having kids. And in fact, it's in Malachi where God basically commands husband and wife to have kids, have faithful children. And so if this is a big common theme in the scriptures, then it should be a big common theme in our lives. And you look around at the world today in this education world and in families are falling apart, you know, nationwide. Divorce rates are up to 50%. I think they're lower in the church.
Really?
Divorce rates,
50%? Across America?
Across America. So no, divorce rates
know that.
Are very high. In the church, they're lower, but they still shouldn't be there in the church either, you know? And so when you have a broken family, you have broken kids. For the most part, some kids do escape broken marriages, but they are escaping them. The average education level of a child who is raised in a single family household is 11th grade. 11th grade. They don't graduate. The average education level of a single parent child is 11th grade.
They don't even make it
all the way through high school.
High school. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Wow.
And so this should be a huge emphasis and focus on your family. And of course, if you have faithful kids, it's such a blessing to mom and dad. And if your kids aren't faithful, if your kids go away and hate mom and dad and hate the culture, hate the family, hate the city they grew up in, well, that's a drain on mom and dad. They feel it. In the scripture says it's a real problem. So in Ephesians chapter 6:1-4, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your mother and father, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training, which is paideia, and admonition, nouthesia of the Lord, nouthesia of the Lord. And the reason why I point out those Greek words, I'll talk about more of that here in a minute. But first off, you want to create a family, a culture of honor, because God specifically connects a culture of honor in the family with children that live long on the earth. And so you want to create a kind of a culture of honor with the family, and God blesses that. Now, the second verse, Paul specifically gets at fathers. He says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition, or the training and admonition of the Lord. And then later in Colossians, Paul says, do not provoke fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's a good one. And if you see a lot of kids who grow up because their fathers provoke them, and they're angry kids, and their fathers provoke them, and their kids are very kind of beaten down and discouraged.
Yeah. Yes. And, well, mothers can do it too.
Yeah.
But
they can.
They can.
This is not to eliminate mothers from this scenario.
We're good. We don't have problems.
This is not to eliminate mothers from
no,
being bad mothers.
Not at all. My goodness. But no, I love those verses.
Yeah. And so, but what the Greek is getting at here, the paideia nouthousia, is getting at kind of like the culture of training, the culture of training, the culture of raising your family in a culture of training and discipline and instruction. So it's not just like, discipline or training or just instructions, like this culture that you're building with your family. And so culture that, applies to something that's not just like, consuming, ones and zeros, or you're consuming information, but you're also, talking about honor and loyalty and kind of this whole aura of what your family is about. Yeah. And so that's what the Greek is getting at there. And then of course this gets to food. I mean, health is very much part of your family culture.
Yeah. Or at least it should be.
Yeah.
Maybe that's one of the things that's missing. Mm-hmm. Is that, what is it? What does that word mean? You know, like, it seems like culture is a very all encompassing word. And like that. And you're saying that paideia, that's what the translation of that word is. Yeah. So it's
culture of instruction, culture of discipline.
So it's like parents. Yeah. It's not just raise your kids, like be present, pay the bills, educate them in some way.
Take them to sports
and
or whatever.
Yeah. And then say bye.
Yeah, right.
It's like which I mean, that's even some parents don't even do that. Mm-hmm. So I understand it's a tall order, but it's like you're called for each one of your kids to create like an entire culture full of like nurture, encouragement, instruction. Mm-hmm. And it's like all encompassing.
And discipline.
All of it, right? Because they need all of it. Probably in different amounts in different seasons. Yeah. But I just really like thinking about it that way. And surely a culture should include, how you're taking care of your body and teaching them how to do that young so that they can thrive when they're young. And then I guess this is always a theme. It's like, do all these things that we're talking about so that you're going to do well now, but also, and this is a big one for kids, because I work with the adult kids later. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they can do well later.
Right.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's one of the biggest things I want to talk about today is that I feel like, oh man, anyway, I don't want to hijack the conversation. Mm-hmm. Did you want to say any more?
Yeah, there's a couple more things.
We'll get back to it. But I just love the word culture. I think it's right on the money, and I don't think we're thinking about it right.
Yep. And I think, part of this is, hang on, I'm trying to turn my iPad all the way down. And we'll get to questions in the live stream. Sorry, y'all. We'll get to questions in the live stream too. If you guys go to Facebook, to our YouTube page, or to Facebook or to Twitter, you'll be able to actually ask questions. Those on Instagram, we can't really read the questions very well. But you go to YouTube, Waterbreak TV channel on YouTube, or Cross Politic on Twitter, or even my own Twitter, you should be able to get to us.
Okay. Save the last couple minutes for those.
Yeah. Or we might answer them as they kind of come in.
Yeah, that's fine.
It says it's muted here in Restream. It's just my laptop or whatever. Okay, I'll just keep going.
Okay.
All right, let's turn that away from me maybe. Okay, guys. So, but the point, I think the point here also we want to kind of emphasize is that think of your family as a little culture, a tiny little culture. And so that, I think that affects how you think about everything with your wife, with your kids. You know, what movies you consume, to how you think about education. Like, you're building a little tiny culture.
Yeah.
Do you want a culture? Tiny people. Yeah. and don't forget, but children are forever. Yeah. Like, we all have souls. We all will live forever. We're raising forever kids.
Yeah.
We're raising eternal kids, eternal souls. Now, eternal souls, you want them going to heaven, you want them confessing Jesus and believing in him, going to heaven or go to hell, but you're raising eternal souls.
Yeah.
So how you think about the culture of your family as it relates to food and health, which is what we're going to focus on today, is very important. So think of your family as a tiny little culture. I'll say one other thing here. There's all sorts of ways. This text is specifically hitting dads between the eyes because it's talking about, the fathers don't provoke your kids, and so there's all sorts of ways that dad can provoke and provoke his wife kind of as part of this too. But like, how does a dad provide for his family? Does he have a very unstructured family life? That can provoke the kids. Kids that don't have good structure at home can be provoked. They can be insecure,
Right.
Your family schedule, is there chaos all over? And of course this is relates to health. So I'm gonna start here, baby, and then I'm gonna tee you off here. But here's just a couple kind of thoughts about as it relates to getting into this conversation about kids and health. You want to train your kids early, and the proverb says in Proverbs 22:6, and so that when they're older, they will not depart from the ways of their parents. They will not depart from the ways. So you obviously want to start early. Now, as this applies to food, we'll get into exercise here in a minute too, but as this applies to food, I remember when our kids were, 6 months old, and we started making them eat everything on their tray that we gave them. We'd put peas down, whatever we put on their tray, we'd say, you need to eat this. And so we're already training kids at an early age how to think about food, how to consume food, and how to honor their parents in that transaction.
Yeah, it's kind of a twofold thing.
Because, what have you seen, maybe parents start to crack down with food when their kids are 10 because they're tired of their kids being picky eaters or whatever. It's
so dumb. Yeah. And it's like, parent, you did that, parents. it's your fault. Like, you did that, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. And it's like, oh, you're surprised that they don't want to eat anything, but mac and cheese.
Right.
Why? That's all you've ever
given them.
That's what you put in front of them. Right. Yeah. Yeah. For 10 years.
So, right. As you guys think about food and training, the point I want to hit home here is think about training your kids early in this health world.
Yeah.
With food.
Start early.
With exercise, that kind of thing. Of course, exercise, you handle the kid with their disposition and where they're at. You don't give a two-year-old 50 push-ups.
Well, it's true for adults, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true for everybody. You start, you meet them where they're at. You pick a plan that's appropriate, right? But you're doing something. You're talking about it. Mm-hmm. You're being disciplined about it. And most importantly, for parents, you're leading by example, hopefully.
Right, right.
And that's another part of the conversation.
Yep. Okay, Instagrammers, you guys got to go over to YouTube or Facebook or Twitter to catch us. We're actually live streaming over there. That's where you can answer questions and all that stuff. And so we're gonna cut off our Instagram here, and we'll see you guys over at YouTube, Twitter, or Facebook. So thank you guys for tuning in over to Instagram.
See you over there.
All right. Okay.
Wow, we got to get better at that.
I know.
We're really not good at it. we're really. You're like holding your...
we'll figure it out. Okay.
We'll figure it out.
So okay. I think of, as you guys think about your kids, and as it relates to this topic of health, think about it early. Because you could be a real blessing to your kids if you start training them early in this world of food and health.
Yes.
And particularly the example that we gave was like, as you kids are learning how to eat solid foods in the high chair.
Right.
It's amazing about how those little moments of training and discipline in that little tiny baby, how that pays off 10, 15, 20 years later in their eating habits.
Big time. In so many different ways, in terms of discipline, in terms of honor, listening and honoring your parents, in terms of their actual taste buds and how they're forming, because that actually happens. You know what I mean?
Your taste buds actually form.
Totally. Uh-huh. It's a very formidable time.
Yeah.
So it really, if you get a kid, when they're 14, who's just been eating junk for 14 years, that really is what tastes good to them.
Yeah,
and
right.
broccoli does not taste good to them. And so it's a way harder sell to make that change then.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just the habits that you're forming. And kids, they're developing too. So it's like, put the best fuel in their bodies. They're growing. Their brain cells are, every part of their body is growing and developing. So why would you not, do the best you can?
Yeah. So parents should, I'd say number one, parents need to pick the food battles early, right?
I mean, I would start by saying that we need to think in terms of this culture, because I love that, the framework of that. Mm-hmm. We need to remember that the health and the taking good care of our bodies is important for Christians. Mm-hmm. It's just as important for a small child, mm-hmm. although it might look different,
yeah.
as it is for a full-grown adult, as it is mm-hmm. for an elderly person mm-hmm. to, in their own way, honor God by honoring their own body, mm-hmm. taking care of their bodies so that they can thrive mm-hmm. and do the best at what they have before them, mm-hmm. be that, you know, waking up, being cheerful, eating the meals your parents give you, going yeah. to school, playing sports. Kids actually do right. a lot, actually. If you think about what the life of a kid is, you know, I mean, obviously it's not, they're not living an adult life. They don't maybe have adult stresses. They're not having to pay bills. They're not having to make hard choices. But I mean, if I look at the schedule of my kids right now, I'm like, I'm tired just thinking about it. I mean, yeah. You know, there's all kinds of things. So I think that, yeah, everyone as Christians, it should just be part of the culture and part of a regular conversation that we are honoring our bodies. We're taking good care yeah. of them. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, so what does that look like? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, and we yeah. have a, yeah, and I have a question here already where someone's sure. asking,
let's
you know,
do
I
got, this. Let's just do questions I all the way through. Picky, it sounds good to me.
I got picky eaters. How would you suggest getting nutrients in them when they don't want to eat anything I'm cooking? So we don't know all the context of that.
Right.
But it sounds like you got a range of children, you know, maybe 10 to 2 or whatever. So
sure. Yeah. yeah.
Obviously, you want to start early. That's the easiest way to solve the problem is just make your kids eat the food you give them early. How would you do it, baby, if you had a 10-year-old? You just kind of woke up as a mom. I was like, man, I do need to have better eating habits.
Totally.
What should I do?
Totally. Well, you know, okay. Yeah, obviously I don't know all the details. I don't know yeah. the ages. I don't know what the background is, but, I would say for the most part, as parents, if we find ourselves having picky eaters, the first thing we need to do is take some personal responsibility. And I'm not saying this to be like, you should feel terrible. I mean, we all, you know, mm-hmm. but it's best to look at it and maybe even talk through it a little bit with your kids in a way where I think you take a little responsibility, like, hey, I, son or daughter, I understand that, the kind of food I'm trying to start suggesting mm-hmm. that we eat does not taste good to you. And that is on me because I did not start you young and I have not required you to have it. And so you don't like it. You know, you haven't, it's like giving someone who's used to a mocha, yeah. a black Americano, like right. that's just not going to taste good to right. them. Now you could baby step, which mm-hmm. is what I recommend people do. Cause yeah. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To getting to where you're just drinking an Americano with maybe some cream, but it's going to take some time.
Yeah.
I'm not, and I don't know if in the question you were hinting at this or not, but I'm not a huge fan of the approach of like sneaking health in or yeah. like, oh, yeah. it's a chocolate brownie, but I put squash in there, but they don't know it. Yeah, you know what right, I mean? Right. Like you see, there's a yeah. lot of moms that go that route. And on yeah. the one hand, I do get it. You're like, I just yeah. want my kids to get some nutrition and there's nothing really wrong with that. But I really think taking some ownership in it, having a really honest conversation with your kids, and maybe yeah. it's an ongoing conversation about, listen, we need to make some changes. Mm. As parents, we messed up a little bit here and we're trying to correct. And so we appreciate you understanding that. And we appreciate you being willing to work on this with mm-hmm. us. And then I would just say pick one food at a time, mm-hmm. probably, because mm-hmm. again, we don't want to, what is that verse? You don't want to provoke your kids. You don't want to put them in a situation that's setting yeah. them up for failure or setting them up for utter frustration right. or whatever. So right. maybe just pick one food, maybe start with swaps. So I don't know what unhealthy thing they'd normally like to have for breakfast. Maybe swap in blueberries, maybe swap in a type of egg that they don't absolutely hate, and just make one change at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But just sort of own it. Like, these are healthier foods and we're going to slowly start having less and less of this other food that isn't as healthy. And we're going to slowly start having more and more. And then also have a conversation with your child. Like, hey, this is the food that God's given us. These are the foods that are good for our body and that we need to learn to be grateful for and not look at food as like, yuck, mm-hmm. I don't like it. No, thank you. And kind of having this attitude of ungratitude, I guess, a little bit. And I think kids will get that way without even realizing it. Yeah. You know, all they know is like, well, that just doesn't taste good in my mouth. Right. But I mean, my goodness, in America, we're given so much, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And mm-hmm. I sometimes, you want to be careful because you don't want to be guilting your kids. But sometimes I've had conversations with my children where like, they're just like, I'm just not interested in this pork chop. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then, but I'm like, oh my gosh.
That's objectively good food.
Well, and also like any kid from yeah. so many other countries, if you put that in front of them,
right.
they would be like, you know, maybe that'd be more food than they've eaten for a week.
Yeah.
maybe it's the most flavorful thing they've ever had. You know, like it would be
well, like our son eats
abundance for them. So again, just giving them a little a check or a reminder, not in an angry way, not in a guilt trippy way, but just like we need to have gratitude and we need to do things that are hard sometimes when we know it's the right thing to do for our body. So
anyways. Yeah. And you know, I'd say the other thing related to this is probably dad is probably not involved or dad is maybe not behind maybe some of these food changes.
That's very possible because a lot of this falls on mom and it's so exhausting. Right? Exhausting and stressful. Yeah.
And so you got to get your husband on board first before. Yeah. And then you guys together should talk to the kids. Hey, we're going to make some food changes over this next coming months. And so we're all going to just be thankful and happy and we're going to. You know, we're going to do the best we can and make this, you know, taste good and stuff. Not, you know, I like broccoli. Like I objectively like broccoli.
Yeah.
But some kids don't. And that's okay. You aren't going to like everything that mom and dad give you, but you need to receive it with thanks and you need to. And that's one way you're building that culture of honor in the family where the kids are reciprocating back to mom and dad. Thank you for this. And even though maybe one kid doesn't like broccoli and the other three do or whatever. But you guys all got to talk and get on the same page.
I love that. And I love the idea of that. Everybody talking as a family about all of this stuff, even if it feels weird, like we're going to have a family meeting about eating healthier foods, but like you have to, and kids love being talked to like they're smart and they're capable
because
they are.
Yeah.
And like, so give them reasons and you will as a parent come off so much less like a tyrant. If you're kindly explain to them, listen, this is why. Yeah. And again, like I said, start with taking some responsibility because and I'm not just pointing at you,
whoever's you,
I'm pointing at me too. Any parent, we're responsible, right? For our kids and the situations that we sometimes create. Yeah. So yeah, I love the conversation.
Now if that's a situation where let's say mom and dad are just kind of coming into, waking up to the fact, hey, maybe we probably should be eating a little better. The preferable situation, let's get back to here, is where you're starting off with your kids 6, 8, you know, months old, 1 year old, where you can start from ground scratch.
Zero. Oh man, if you can do that, because
it's been a huge blessing for our family. It's not that we haven't had food battles and we still have some. Well, hey, you just need
you'll
to eat
fight
it.
A but, few. We did when they were like one or two. That's the time to fight them if you can.
And don't be, be faithful in little and be coaching them, be helping them, be working with them. But also, you know, God gave us the ability to discipline our kids and to swat. And we swats, or we call them sing-aways in our house because our little daughter called them a sing-away.
We still don't know.
We don't know how
we
that word
understand.
Got.
We don't understand.
But
what happened there?
But but children need to obey, and this is a low bar place to discipline your kids with say, you know, you need to eat your broccoli and you need to finish all your broccoli, and if you don't and I'm going to work with you on it and I'm here with you, but if you don't obey, you're going to get a spanking for it. And so how helpful is that as you create a culture in your family in a place where the stakes aren't high?
Right. And it's very clear and black and white.
Yep.
And you don't have to worry about like, okay, do they understand
what I'm saying or not?
Am I being, am I trying to tell, you know what I mean?
Am I being a tyrant?
Right. Yep. Like it's very, it's one of the, I think, actually think the, because I like talking about the food battle because every parent knows what we're talking
Everyone's
about. That
had
kid
one. Yeah.
in the high chair who's just like either, you know, throwing the food off or they'll put it in their mouth and they just won't, you know, what do you call that? The gerbil.
They won't chew it or
the
something.
Gerbil strategy where you just keep it in your cheeks and you won't swallow. Mm-hmm. And that's actually hard.
Yeah.
It's a hard one to deal with. Or the ones that are just, they'll just wait you out, you know, and you have to be willing to cancel all your plans, call in sick and be like, I can't, I have to win this one.
It's a little battle I got
to
win here.
I have to win this one. I just feel like there's so much fallout from when you cave and you just are like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Or okay, here's your chicken nuggets. Man, there's so much fallout from that.
Because your kid knows that there's a point where he or she will win.
There's
a point where that baby knows he's going to win.
There's fallout in terms of just your child's general behavior and whether or not they look at you as, you know, a parent whose authority they do need to respect as a kid. Mm-hmm. And then there's also all the nutritional stuff, right? Like, and it's so important. And that just brings me back to my point. Kids are so smart. And I think that we as just...
Even by 6 months old, they're way smarter than you think they are.
Oh, they're so smart. And they're so smart. And every year my kids get older, I'm blown away by how smart and capable they are. I mean, like, they're so smart. And I think one of the biggest things that just I don't want to say it. I mean, I don't want to be too, I don't want to over exaggerate, but one of the things that's just such a detriment to our children, our parents, Christian or non-Christian alike, mm-hmm. who just underestimate in every way their children. What, like their intelligence, what they can understand, what they're capable of, what the expectations for them should be. Mm-hmm. And I think this is just one of them. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Same with physical activity also.
Right.
You know what I mean?
We'll get there to that too. No, it's a very good point. How parents sadly have such low expectations for their kids. And it's no wonder they grow up to have low expectations for themselves in life.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
because how uninspiring to know that your parents expect nothing of you. They're like, oh, you just, okay.
Or very little.
Or very little. Like, you couldn't possibly sit still. Here's an iPad. Oh, you, I know you don't like meatloaf. Here's the pizza. Oh, he can't. You know what I mean? Like, they would never behave themselves. They can't come with me to this. What I was just thinking about that tonight. Like, okay, I'm going, I have to, today's been a crazy day.
Yeah.
I have not even, I did take a shower and I'm really proud of that. That's like, I fit it in.
You look beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and you smell good too.
I didn't, thank you. So, hey, that's a big compliment when you work at a gym. So thank you. But didn't have time to do my hair, but at least I took a shower. But anyways, I have to go to a baby shower tonight and I was just thinking to myself, oh, I should take my girls because I love my girls. Yep. And I love taking them everywhere that I go if I can. I don't think I can swing it because they have a track meet. But that thought just went through my head. But even when they were young, if I had a chance, I would take them because they're my friends and because I like being around them.
That's
I mean, if you raise kids that you have low expectations for, you don't discipline, they're sad and they really will
throw a fit. They aren't grateful kids.
They really will have terrible manners at that baby shower and that's your fault and you won't want to take them. So you're missing out on all these opportunities and it's just like you could,
baby.
You know, it's just, it baffles me, you know, like I want my kids, like I feel like it's just the people will be shocked how early you can train up your kids and teach up your kids to be so capable to do so many different things. And there's just so much missed opportunity there.
And people, I think part of parents need to realize is that the concrete in their kids harden a lot sooner than they realize.
So early.
And,
yes.
And I would say right now we're kind of talking about discipline, spanking as it relates to food.
It all goes together, I think. Yeah. It's not disconnected. And maybe that's another problem that people have is they
disconnect discipline and spanking and food.
Or themselves from their kids or whatever. Yeah.
And I would say, you know, 95% of our spanking happened, you know, 7 years and younger.
Oh, I would say between the ages of
really 3 to 6 is probably the bulk. Probably 1 to 6.
I'd say like 1 to 5. I'd say 1 to 4.
Yeah.
Is where most of our throwdowns.
That's right.
And obviously we're not. I mean, like 1 year old, that'd be like you get a little pinch on your leg or you know, whatever form of discipline seemed appropriate at the time. But
the stage and level,
the volume of it. I sound like I'm talking about workouts. The volume, the sets, and the reps were the most.
Between one and four.
Between one and four. And it's not even that hard. It just, it takes, it's exhausting. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of pinning or putting aside as a parent. And I'd say a lot of this tends to fall on the mom because the mom tends to be home with the kids more.
During the day. Yep.
Obviously, dad, please do take over as soon as you get home because she's tired. And dad needs to get
Step up the spankings.
Your turn. You have to be willing to just absolutely pause in terms of priorities, everything else in your life. Like, cause I can't tell you how many, it's just time consuming and it is so much easier to just yell or, get frustrated, post something on Instagram about how hard it is to be a mom. I mean, there's so many things that are easier than giving calm.
God made it hard on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. But
like embrace that.
Yeah. Well, and it's just how it works with people, you know, but if you put the work in patiently, and consistently with your young kids, because again, they're watching and they know, like they know, hey, if I throw a fit in this shopping cart,
I know what I can get.
Yeah. Yeah. Like exactly. I'll get a sucker.
Yeah.
It's what I did last time. I mean, like they're so smart, you know,
there were times where you had to walk out of the store because you had to win the battle. So we're going to leave and then we're going to come back.
We left. And again, you guys, this is with my kids really young because this is when you fight it so that when they're 6, you are excited to take them to the store and they are your helper.
And their helper.
Yes. And that is exactly roughly the way that it went. But yeah, no, I have left a full baskets of groceries. I have left the swimming pool. I have turned my car around, canceled on a friend and gone back. I mean, like you just have to be willing to do that.
Yeah.
And again, not because you're in a rage, not because you're angry, but because you're like, this is the most important thing. I this, you know, it's not even just it is about your child, but it's also about obeying God with regards to what God's called you to do as a parent.
Right.
You are responsible for these children. Yep. And kids that grow up to be 10, 12, 14, and they're just awful people, for the most part, their parents miss the mark somewhere, you know? And that's always my first question. And I never, you never know.
Yep.
But my first question when I see a kid like that, I'm just like, who is your mom? What's going on? You know?
And as you hear us talking, you know, a lot of like your kids' food habits and health habits are formed and shaped early.
Yes.
But it really is mom and dad need to be spiritually healthy to be able to go down this process with their kids.
Yes, they do.
You know, it's like, because if you're frustrated with your kids, I like using the word frustrated.
Frustrated. So frustrating. Yeah.
If you're frustrated with your kids and then you discipline them in frustration, well, it didn't do anything to the kid. In fact, it probably just provoked them.
It's wrong,
right?
Number one.
If you're angry with your kids and then you spank your kids in anger because they didn't eat the broccoli that you told them to eat or whatever, you're doing more damage to the kid. If you spank them out of love and your heart's right with God, one of the it's funny, we're focusing more on talking about faithful disciplining kids and the parents' disposition in it as it relates to health and food. But one of the things that we did that I've just over time, this is part of building family culture, when our kids would do something wrong, the discipline room was the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And we would take them in the bathroom and we'd clearly explain, this is, you know, this is what we asked of you and this is what you didn't do. And this is, you know, maybe Bible verse, this is, you lied to mom. So, you know, the Bible says thou shalt not lie. So we kind of explain the sin and then I'd give them opportunity to even defend themselves, you know,
like
give
them that,
you know, okay, were you wrong? Or do you have an explanation for me why you did this or whatever? And I'll just freely let them say what they wanted to say. And most of the time they wouldn't even defend themselves because they're like, I lied. I was wrong. I did, you know.
What do you do?
Sometimes you get a defense and then you might need to bring another witness in or something like that. Yeah. You know, one of the other kids. But then we would discipline them. We'd spank them. And then we'd pray with them afterwards and we'd give them the gospel afterwards. So if you create a family with all discipline and no gospel, you're it goes back to Ephesians, you're provoking your kids to wrath. Yeah.
Oh, it's so bad. And that's how you lose your kids, guys.
Yep.
Like that, it's not, that's
so if you have all standard and no grace, right?
It's
all law and no grace, you're going to get a bad outcome.
Right.
And in this. And so, Cassandra, we'll get to your question here in a minute. Emily, we'll be getting to your question here in a minute. Hang on, we'll get there. Start off young with how you feed your children and your expectations there. Your kids are very capable, more capable than you realize with the food.
Very, especially if you talk to them about it, right? You don't need to be a tyrant. You can have these conversations. Yeah. Why are we doing this? And I would say two things more on the dietary side. Parents, you do need to lead by example. I mean, that seems kind of obvious, but I mean, do not ever require of your children to do something, I would say, that you are not.
The kids have to eat broccoli and dad doesn't.
Yeah, you know, that you are not doing. And that seems, and I think that kind of goes without saying with the nutritional side of things, because usually it's the kids that are a little bit more of a challenge. But that also goes with just moving your body, exercise. Mm-hmm. If you want, one of the number one ways to inspire change in your kids is to lead by example, mm-hmm. like actually do it yourself. And again, simple, but just, you know, hard. It's easier to yell. It's easier to make excuses. It's easier to do a lot of things than get up and change your routine, you know, but if you want your kids to have healthy habits, exercise wise, number one, you need to.
So let's we're going this way. Cassandra asks this question, and Emily, don't worry, I'll get to yours too. Do you recommend adding a cardio or weight training program for kids at a certain age?
Ooh, I love that question.
So this gets into the fitness side of
health.
Yes, that's
great. We need to talk about the fitness stuff because that matters too. 100% yes. Just like we were saying, generally speaking, kids are so smart and capable. They are physically incredibly capable.
Yeah, right.
Actually, and we all know this, like the epitome of like youth and like mobility
and energy.
You just think of like a six-year-old kid just running around. It's like they can't get hurt. They're jumping, they're rolling. You know what I mean? So they're actually, the way their bodies are when they're young is super synergistic with exercise, right? And some of that can just be play. So get your kids outside, generate a love of the outdoors, generate a love of movement, of God's creation.
Right.
And that's something that totally should be hopefully a part of your family culture, you know, where and it's very conducive with families doing things all together, hiking together, skiing together, just going for walks after meals together. So start with that. That's phenomenal. But beyond that, and she asked for certain age groups. So I want to be, specific about age groups. I am, now this is a contended, the like, okay, should kids squat or should kids strength train? It's a little more, different people have different opinions. I start my kids quite young. In the past, I have ran a like a youth, basically kids little class
boot camp kind of
thing. Where we just introduced movements. As I mean, how young was Cash when you started? Like third grade, third grade age maybe.
I remember you taking them to the track when they were, you know, 3 years old, four years old.
That's running. But I'm talking about like the strength training side of things.
Well, they ask cardio too.
Yeah, and cardio. Yeah. So I'll talk about the strength stuff too. So I'd say like if you got like third grader or above, and of course, guys, there can be exceptions. There could be a third grader who's not ready. There could be a second grader who's totally ready, obviously. Yeah. But like pretty dang young because he's in the fourth, he's nine. So I think he was 7 or 8 when I started him, and the girls would have been the same age too. I taught my kids how to do a correct body weight squat. I taught my kids how to do a correct push-up. Yep. I taught them all how to do pull-ups. I've taught them how to hinge. I taught them how to press overhead. All of those functional movements that I would have, that I mean, I do under big loads in the gym now, they're just as functional. And they're for anyone, including children, and they're scalable. So it's, you barely need to change anything, squat, hinge, push, pull, jump, whatever, press overhead, rotate. You just have to change the intensity and the load. So they're, when they're really young, obviously they're still growing.
Air squats are great.
It's not safe. You're not going to put a big heavy barbell on a 9-year-old's back, probably. But you can teach the mechanics. And I am a huge fan of this because that way, by the time they're 14, 15, usually around that age, and their body's maybe ready for a load, the mechanics are already there and they can do it correctly without injury, right? And like, they're like, oh yeah, I've been hinging my whole, I've been hinging for years. You know, my, I know how to deadlift. I know how to do this. And I just, now it's time to work with barbells. So I think you can start very young. You just need to make sure that you are instructing them correctly, or you're having them work with someone who really knows what they're doing and understands progression and mechanics. So that the emphasis should be on stabilization and proper mechanics and cardio. I mean, kids can, you know, the key is not taking it so far with the cardio that they're like, I hate this and I hate you and I hate everything. You know what I mean? Like,
That's provoking. That goes back to provoking.
Exactly. And I mean, it's a totally like, it's a situational thing. It depends on the kid. But I'll say I used to take the kids to, and I still every Wednesday in the summers is track day for myself and my kids. We all go, we all do our track workouts. When they were little, it was literally like everybody on the line. Cash, he's our youngest. You run one lap, buddy. Vita, she's older. You run three. Liv, you get a mile because she would be 2 years older than Vita. And it was, you know, at least I deemed appropriate for all of them. And they were like, got it. And they did it, you know, and I made a huge deal about it when they were done. Sometimes we'd go get a fun drink when we were done. Not always, but you know, we just try to make it as fun as possible. But it's like, this is also, this is what we do. It's part of our family culture.
It's a little that's funny that, you know, parents will think, okay, my kid's 12 years old now, or 13 or 14, gone through puberty. Now it's time to work out.
Or now I'm
going to expect my kid to have a discipline or have good habits and everything.
It's tough too. Because parents will call me sometimes and they'll be like, well, I'm really concerned about my daughter. I mean, you know, she's having weight problems or she's having mood problems. And because a lot of those things do hit around puberty and it's really hard. I'm not saying it's never too late, you know, obviously to make a change. So wherever you're at, no matter how much you're struggling, no matter how old you are, you can. So I don't mean to be discouraging about that, but like, it's really hard when they're 15 and they have no background or love or appreciation or experience for movement in any way to try to start. Then it is really hard.
Right. Yeah. The other thing I want to add here is because we're Christians, we absolutely believe that men and women are made differently. And that, they're, made part of, you know, God's triune God. He's a diverse God. He's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In the same way, God created diverse creation. He created diversity in man and woman. And so those, we should glory in our distinctions. We should glory in our womanhood and we should glory in our manhood, which means, guys train for strong arms for engaging the world. Women train for strong arms for building the house. So our training, there's, you know, Proverbs 31 woman, like she had strong arms.
So, it actually says that, which I think is really interesting. It actually mentions that specifically. Yeah.
And in that verse is Proverbs 31:17. The verse for strong arms, it says strong. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms.
Yeah.
So strength, and those are two different Hebrew words that both have some sort of meaning related to strong.
Yeah.
like strong. It's
I
not
love that. Yeah.
Like it's not like any sort of softening of it there. But the point is men are training one way and women are training for a different direction, a different telos, a different end goal. But we shouldn't think that women should be soft and weak and, that kind of thing. So but at the same time, I think our training for our women should look differently than our training for men to some extent. I don't think women should be bodybuilding. This might actually just blow up a lot of people right now. I don't think we should, be training women for muscular bodybuilding, activity. I think we should be training men in the strength and training and to engage and to fight and to hit each other and to be physical with one another, because their strength is to protect their family for the world. So I think the telos of what you're doing will also dictate a little bit of how you build your strength training in your children over time. Now, maybe to sketch it out a little bit. Absolutely, a woman should be able to run a mile, and a man, and a your daughter should be able to run a mile, and so should your son. Mm-hmm. But as you think about the direction that God has designed and built us, that's where the strength training, and weightlifting, and vision of what you want for your son and what you want for your daughter should impact how you think about, the easy example is we just don't believe our women should be playing football. I think it's a man sport. It's a very physical sport. I have no problem with my daughters playing volleyball or basketball. But to get into more of a brutal physical interaction, I think that's reserved for young men. But that doesn't think now, I'll maybe add this little clarification here too. Basketball is a contact sport, so I don't have a problem with our women, let's say, being in a contact sport, because the world's a contact world. Motherhood is a contact sport.
Yeah.
You're having babies. You're very much needing the strength of a woman to do all the duties that God has called you to. And so I don't have a problem with I don't think women should be just soloed off to contactless sports, but I think the kind of sport and the kind of contact sport we the women do play, it's going to be very different than what it looks like with men and everything. So I don't know if that fleshes out some of that there.
Yeah.
Any comments, baby?
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree really with anything you're saying. I think, in the context of, it's interesting. In the context of kids, little kids in particular, a lot of times the exercise that they're doing at that phase, especially, is all kind of going to look the same, mm-hmm. And I don't want people to shy away from that. All going to mm-hmm. kind of look the same. And the mm-hmm. human body, the way God designed it, it's just so interesting, because in some ways, we're all humans and we're all the same. Like, we all need mm-hmm. to be able to squat. We all need to be able to hinge. We all need to be able to push. We all need to be able to pull. You know what I mean? So in mm-hmm. some ways, when you're looking at training, or like you're saying, maybe like long-term trajectory, a lot of things are actually really similar, which is nice because it simplifies things. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you, especially, the older kids get, the older people get, farther into life they get. If you do believe in biblical gender role, like I don't even want to say that. I mean, just the way God made men and women, which is just very, we are very different. You do start to see some serious differences. And a lot of times it will trickle down into training style, intention, you know, all those, like why you're doing it, what you're doing, what, you know, the functional movements that you're choosing, what are they and why, you know? So, and I mean, I think it's great. I have no problem talking about any of that. You know, I just think you see it more the farther down you go and the more specific you are. But I mean, fundamentally, if we're just talking about kids and family culture, I mean, I just, you know, we just want everybody moving
the same direction
and on the same page about like, we are so appreciative of our bodies. God gave them to us. We only have one. We're going to take care of them. We want to be productive. We want to feel good. And the same goes with food, you know, you know, but I agree with you that girls should play basketball. And not football. That's, I mean, how dumb.
So, let me, we got a little bit of time left here. I want to get to Emily's question.
Okay.
Graham, thanks for your comments, man. Appreciate that. And, Kyle, you too. Do you have, I got some comments here, then I want to pass this off to you. Do you, this is from Emily. Do you have an expectation for kids helping in the kitchen? What age and involvement, etc.? Now,
do I?
This is this was a fun wake up moment for me. Of you know, when we had our kids at one point, our kids were three, one and a half or something, and nine, zero. Cash,
like Cash was a baby,
3, 1, and 0.
Okay.
And you know, you wake up and you change three diapers, you know, it's a pretty busy time.
Yep.
But as the kids got older, you know, I mean, bringing the kids in the kitchen is just one of the funnest things for the kids. They love touching the food. They love tasting the food. They love getting their hands dirty, all that stuff. So, obviously pull them in as much as you can, but, and mom, make room for that. Make space for that because it's going to take longer. Once you bring the kids in cooking dinner, it's going to take longer.
It kind of gets worse before it gets better.
It does. it absolutely does. Here, let me finish this point and then you can go. But the light bulb moment for me about this topic of bringing kids in earlier to help cook in the kitchen and stuff. The light bulb moment for me is like, okay, every day you wake up, you feed the kids, you get the kid in the high chair. And then as their kids get older, as they kind of progress, and then your kids are, I think it was between 5 and 6 years old. We had been teaching our oldest daughter to flip an egg in a pan. Mm-hmm. And then we started letting her just cook all the eggs by herself with, you know, mom or dad hanging out there.
Yeah,
and then I think it was by the time she was six, she would make breakfast for Vita and Cash, for herself, Vita and Cash.
Right.
And now we rotate it. We have different process now. But Liv would wake up, cook the kids each an egg. They'd get their toast, whatever. Mm-hmm. They could each make their own toast, whatever. And then mom and dad, you know, maybe would sleep in a little bit sometimes.
We had some sleep debt to pay off at that point. We were like, it's okay, it's fine.
But that was the light bulb moment for me about bringing our kids in the kitchen.
The breakfast, the egg
thing was like, oh, how helpful is this? And what a great, responsibility for our young daughter. And then,
And she loved it.
And she loved it. And so giving your kids responsibility and all that stuff. So that was just... I thought a story that was
cute.
A light bulb moment for me.
I didn't actually think about that. And that's really, that's a really good example. So the question was just, do you expect involvement from your kids in the kitchen?
In the kitchen. What age and involvement? What age?
Okay. So, I mean, obviously everybody's kids are different. Boy, girl might make a difference too, especially when you're younger. I just find that, but that's not to say boys cannot be, you know, capable and participate in the kitchen and just really, or the running of the household, right? Mm-hmm. Just participating in whatever way. And I have found that, again, this has been a theme all the way through, but kids are so capable and it is actually, it is great for them, you know, to learn to participate, to learn to serve others at an early age, participate in this family, you know, machine or culture that we've created, which is very busy. And everybody needs to be serving everybody most of the time in order for it to work. And it actually, they like it because it's like, oh my goodness, I have this important job, you know, and I get to do it and I, you know, I can do it. So I had my son, taking the trash out and doing various things. I mean, the limiting factor for him was he was so young that he couldn't hold it or like get it out, you know, because he was so little, but he was game and he wanted to do that. And he, it was like, that's your job. You are my guy. Thank you so much.
It was a trash
and
buddy.
You can be so appreciative and it's a good, you know, for them to learn to remember and to not forget and just, you know, help in that way. Like you said, our girls are, and Cash too, are involved in making breakfast a lot of the time.
And now they have different chores. I mean, our son Cash, we got chickens, so Cash goes gets the eggs.
We have animals.
Livia goes feeds the horses, and Vita cooks the eggs while the kids they're doing chores.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I mean, all of this, the hardest part is just taking the time to teach them, because I think it's a lot easier to just be like, I'll just do it. Like, it's just faster.
Yeah, I know.
It's just faster. That's a
big temptation.
It's less messy. Yep. You know what I mean? But I would say by like, by 3, 4, 5, we always made sure they had an age and size appropriate job, whatever that might be for that kid. And it was more about the principle of them participating than it was always about that job needing to be done. So maybe that was emptying the dishwasher. Maybe that's the younger sister emptying the bottom stuff that isn't glass and the older sister doing the top stuff that is glass, you know, so we don't just have, you know, shards of glass everywhere every single day. So quite a bit of involvement, and it kind of has just been in flux over the years as they become more capable. At this point, my oldest daughter makes bread every week for the kids. My middle daughter, Vita, is the one making eggs every morning. Liv and Cash are on animal duty. And these are all just kind of, again, it's not even like weird, because it's just normal for them, right? It's normal.
They just get up and do the chores. Yeah, they read their Bible and they get into chore life.
And then
they go to school.
And then they go to school. And they also make their own lunches the night before. Yeah. And I bought a bunch of bento boxes.
That's a great story.
I think I've talked about this on the show before, but I really recommend it. I bought bento boxes for them, and then we took some time to learn what is protein, you know, what are carbohydrates, what are healthy fats, and what's fiber, like fruit or vegetables. And then I always have the kinds of things that check those boxes and that they like, because obviously we're not trying to be monsters here. I'm not going to be like, here's lima beans. I really hope you enjoy your lunch. You know what I mean? Like, I know Liv loves blueberries. You know, I know Vita likes this kind of meat. I know Cash loves these homemade, you know, this homemade granola that
that you just made.
They eat so much of it. Yeah. So I really try to have as much of those healthier options available to them. And they, every night they know, you know, boom, boom, boom. Everyone's
so you tell them, get a protein, get a good fat,
get a good healthy fat.
And what was the last one?
Get a carb, get a fiber. Know. And every once in a while I'll do a lunch check. I'll just be like, let me see. And usually they're right on the money.
Yeah.
So I would say quite a bit of involvement early on, but not in a like tyrannical, here's your chore list, I hope you love your life kind of way, but like a grateful, we're all working together, we're all in the kitchen together, and this is what it means to live as a family that's productive and highly functional. And we try to, and we need work on it, but we try to establish a spirit of gratitude, you know, and we try to lead by example by telling them thank you, telling them good job.
Yeah.
You know, like, we really appreciate you, because we do, you know, we really appreciate you.
So. I'll add one more thing, and then you got to go pick up our kids.
Oh, yeah, I got to go. I got to go to a track meet.
Yeah. I'm now starting to integrate Cash into, I smoke meat and barbecue and stuff like that. So my son's 9. He's getting pretty capable pretty fast on
he's
a so bunch
cute.
Of stuff.
He's
yeah.
the cutest out there.
And so I'm now starting to integrate him in my barbecue stuff. He's helped me with barbecue, putting things together, going out and smoking, help me put the charcoal together and the firewood and all that stuff. So, you know, I love to smoke meat. I love to barbecue. And so why not hang out with my buddy and do it together?
You have to look at your son like he's intelligent and capable and someone that you want to be around.
Yeah.
And they are.
So like, if you don't start young, you aren't going to want to be around them.
Like, include them. Like, they love it. Yeah. And it's awesome time together. And you're also going to then soon, I'll have a 14-year-old son who can grill for me. So it's really a win-win.
That's right.
But anyways.
Well, we got about through half of our notes for today's show. We're going to be live streaming.
One.
We do another one.
We
absolutely.
Save
on kids
some of the questions
and stuff
too, and do another one. Yeah.
Every Thursday between probably 2 o'clock and 2:15, we're going to go live. As I'm not traveling and as I'm able to, but pretty consistently, we're going to be here going live, and the podcast will drop after the show. So we'll go into our app or go into our podcast, any podcast catcher out there. And so you don't have to, you know, listen to the live stream here, but we'd love for you guys to tune in. We love the questions. We love kind of interacting with you guys.
The questions were really good.
And it makes it funner, for what we're doing here with Water Break. We know health and fitness and our faith is very, it's a very important topic to a lot of people. It's a 50 what is it, $50, $100 billion industry.
Yeah.
And so we want to bring sanity to that.
Yeah, and everybody wants to do what's right, and it's just sorting through it all. So thanks, you guys. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next Thursday live or in our app after, and the audio will drop later.
Gosh, hopefully we'll do a better job.
Yeah.
Less of this.
Oh, that's just the way it's going to go with Instagram.
Okay. <Yeah. laughs>
All right, y'all.
All right.
Thanks for joining us.
See you next week.